Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Steve Arterburn here, and I am with Chris Williams and Dr. Alice Benton right here on Friday, April the 30th, and glad you're all with us. Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
I'm old.
Yes.
Today's my birthday.
Yes. Happy birthday.
Check the lines. Check the wrinkles.
You know what? You know, I remembered it was your birthday because it's got it written right here on my notes. And so happy birthday, Alice. Hope you have some very fun time here today.
We have somehow our first family RV trip planned for mine and my husband's birthday, which was yesterday. So we are heading out on the open road.
Nice. Oh, very
but
cool.
We're not going very far because we don't know how we're all going to handle an RV trip. So this is just a little test run.
That's good. Well, that's smart.
I hope you enjoy it as much as we do, because we love going camping in RVs, and we'll probably try to pull one of those off here this summer. It's just absolutely fantastic, and the kids love it, so hope you have a great time. You know, a lot of times when we celebrate a birthday, we realize how fast this past year mm-hmm. went by. Well, it wasn't that it went so fast, we just don't remember very much of it.
Mm-hmm. So that's exactly right.
You have to do some things that you're going to remember. I heard a man talk about someone else just saying, well, you know, he just spent all this money. And what he spent money on were trips like you're talking about with his family. And I just thought, man, that's a wonderful thing, that if he was going to spend money, it was on making memory mm-hmm. with his kids. And he did make a lot of memories with them. So summer's coming up. Let's make some plans. And you don't have to spend a lot of money to make great memories. Be creative and think about it. Your kids really do need, they need to get out of wherever they are and try to experience something normal and amazing this summer. Well, let's go to our phones and let's talk to Mary, calling from Denver, Colorado, and she listens online. We're glad that she does. Hello, Mary. How are you today?
I'm blessed. How are you?
Very well. Thank you. And thanks for calling us. And we were wondering what it was that we might be able to help you with.
Well, I have a situation, and I'm just calling for some advice.
Okay.
I've been listening to your show for years, and I think you guys are just the best. So thank you for your ministry.
Thank you.
I'll try to frame it quickly. My friend is not able to work at this point in time. COVID has affected her job for several months, if not quite some time. I've been financially supporting her. I'm married. Mm. I don't have any of my own children. And my question for you guys is, when is it okay for me to put my foot down and stop supporting my friend financially? I think that's my biggest thing. I feel God has given me a very good job. I'm very grateful. I'm very happy about that. She, in turn, has not had such good luck. I'm the baby of the family. I've been super supported. I've had lots of love. This other person is a only child and has a really weird situation. No dad. Her mom is cuckoo. I feel like I should support her like my sister, but I think at a certain point I'd probably say I've over-supported her. I'm not sure how to back out of this, except that I've told her several times, you know, next month I'm not going to be able to pay your rent. You know, just not gonna. But then God provides me with good money, so I'm trying to figure this out.
Okay, you have called the right place, and I'm really glad that you have a heart of compassion, and I'm also glad you're asking the question so that you don't end up encouraging someone to live what we call a life of learned helplessness, enabling that. And strengthening the learned helplessness lifestyle isn't any better than yanking financial funds, or worse than yanking financial funds out from someone. So we'll give you what I hope will be the compassionate right answer right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back and we're talking with Mary, and she's been supporting a woman because Mary is a very compassionate person. She's told her, I can't do this anymore, but then she's continued to do it. So I think we've got to come up with a plan and stick to it, so that you know you're doing the right thing and she knows that you're doing the right thing also. Chris, you want to start us off, and then Alice, I've got some thoughts also.
Okay, so Mary, there is a very key difference I want you to know, and that's the difference between enabling and empowering. And so right now what you're doing is you're enabling her friend to stay stuck. And so she is really doesn't have to do anything. And by doing that, it's actually causing harm to her. And so by empowering her, what you may there's different ways to empower a person. You don't have to necessarily cut things off, but you may say, hey, we need to develop a plan because I can't keep doing this long term. So I'm going to have to reduce this support in half. And then in a quarter, you know, then by three quarters. And so you can kind of move it off. But the end of the day, what you're doing is you're solving the wrong problem for this person. This person's primary problem is not that they don't have enough financial resources. Steve alluded to it. The problem is a mentality and position that they have taken up in their mind and their heart. They lost belief. Okay. They lost resiliency. They have become paralyzed. And financially supporting them will not unparalyze them. It will not get them moving. This person needs deeper help than what finances can provide.
That's exactly the word I would think. That is paralyzed. She is acting paralyzed. Like if I feel like if I would stop, she would just, she would never even move out of her home, like step out the front door. She would be paralyzed in fear of they're going to just put her out on the street.
True, but you're
Thank you.
All you're doing is delaying the inevitable.
Okay,
Mary, I am so excited for you to learn about this boundaries idea that Chris is describing, because it will help alleviate the guilt and the burden, but also the resentment that you're probably starting to feel towards her. And boundaries biblically come from Galatians chapter 6, where we are told to carry each other's burdens, but each one of us must carry our own load. And when we're forced to carry our own load, it can be tough. We might be ill-equipped. Maybe your friend can't handle it. But unless you allow her to experience some good realistic concern about what will my future look like if Mary's not paying my rent, by not letting her experience that concern and even that pain that she will have to face at not receiving your paycheck anymore, that will allow her the space to get motivated and to grow. Now, she may or may not decide to take action, but you are hindering her by over-helping her. I wouldn't even want you to do that for your own sister, because it doesn't allow your friend to mature.
Yeah, and, you know, there are there's this horrible thing that happens when you help somebody. When it happens, they go from gratitude to entitlement, and then from entitlement to demands, and you just don't want to go down that road. So if it was person I'd been supporting, I would say, okay, it is time that we implement a plan so you get your independence, your strength back. Mm-hmm. And so here's what I'm prepared to do. I'm going to I'm going to reduce this next month by 25%, then half, then three-fourths, and then there won't be anything. And so in the meantime, if you can't get out and get that job and you need some counseling or you need some coaching, I'll try to help you find that. But I'm so glad I was able to help you then, but this is all I'm going to be able to do now. And then you just have to stick with that, which, you know, be hard to do if she tries to, you know, put shame in your heart and all of that kind of stuff. But that'd really be sad if she did that.
But that speaks to something I think is really important for you, Mary. And Mary, if you don't figure out what's going on inside of you, then you're going to end up repeating this pattern. And what happens is it's actually a form of codependency. And that is, if I allow other people to feel bad about their situation, it means I'm bad, you know? And certainly, you know, as the proverb says, if it's within our power to do good, we do good. But we don't take responsibility for other people. And so somewhere in your story, it's this idea that I can't let other people struggle and be in difficulty. And so it's really like we all have to go through it. It's the price of admission to planet Earth is to work through our difficulties and our struggles and grow as human beings. And we have to allow other people to do that. And it doesn't say, and it mean nothing about us. It doesn't mean that you are good because you support her and you're bad because you don't. That's the wrong message.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll send you, take your life back. I think there's some things in there that might help you in kind of coaching her and counseling her. But, you know, it's painful anytime you can't continue to help somebody. We have this kind of dream, okay, I'm going to help them, they'll get back on their feet, and they'll be so grateful, and we'll all go on with life. But it often doesn't happen that way, and that's where we have to come in and show some courage. And the courage is to do the right thing, and it's not right to support an adult who could support themselves. And so life is hard, and when we come to this concept of not all pain is hurtful, then we're more able to say, when someone says, oh, it's so painful, you know, well, not all pain is hurtful pain. It's helpful pain. And that's what I'm hoping there is going to happen with her and you. You're going to start doing some things that are actually very, very helpful and hopeful, even though painful. Alice?
And I hope you have your friend call us, because we can help unravel what her issue is that's keeping her stuck in being overly dependent on you. Give her our number.
Yeah. And we would just be saying to her what happened, how you lost your job, and then what happened that killed your desire to get back in there and do the work that you can do. God says, I'll never give you too much, something that you can't handle. But he doesn't say, I'll never give you what you can't handle alone. We have to assume that we're going to have things that are too difficult for us to handle by ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we must humble ourselves and get the help that we need to do the next right thing. Sounds really simple, just hard to pull that off.
It also reminds me of Ephesians 2:10, and that is that God has created us as his masterpiece or his workmanship. And so, you know, we have tremendous worth, and we are a masterpiece. But then it goes on to say, and he has called us to do great works, which he's prepared in advance for us to do. And so the idea is that the Creator created us, but our job is to then go create as well, to make good things of what he's given us. And so, when life and the forces come against us and resist us, it wants to do two things. It wants to tell us that we're worthless and what we do won't work or won't matter.
Yeah.
And so fighting against that and recovering our worth and recovering that, you know, as silly as it may sound, the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches that I made this morning for my boys' lunch, though not the healthiest of choice, keeps them alive. That act of creativity matters, as simple as it is. Huh. But as creative beings, man, it's so important that we hold on to the belief that we're to make something of our lives, of ourselves, and the world around us.
So true. Alice, anything you want to add to that before we go?
I don't, but I'm going to go study and meditate on Ephesians 2. What, 2:10 you said?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Ooh. I got to look into that.
1-800-229-3000. If you need some help, we would love to help you. Again, on the series on Going Deeper at 5 o'clock Eastern Time on our YouTube channel there, Going Deeper, you can hear my episodes on, it's the last episode today, The Soul of a Hero. It's from the book, the new book, that'll be out in June, last book that Dave Stoop and I wrote together. All right, let's go to How about we talk with Sonia, Austin, Texas, and she listens on the podcast. Hello there, Sonia. How are you today there in Austin, Texas?
Hello. I'm doing well. Thank you
Good.
For taking my call.
Certainly. How can we help?
We have a son who is, I've called in about him before years ago, but he has extreme PTSD. He's a Purple Heart hero, and has gone through so much in the war, and which took over with alcoholism so bad that his wife left him about 7 years ago or more.
That's too bad.
And so we've gone in circles trying to help him for years, and so I listen to y'all and to others that, you know, say that when you have alcoholism or an addiction, they have to get to their lowest. And I don't think he has a lowest.
Well, that's not true.
And
that is not true. Let me just talk about that for a minute. That's not true. For us to sit around and wait for somebody to get to their lowest, let's just say somebody that drives an automobile and has an alcohol problem. So essentially you're saying, well, you know, they may kill somebody out there with their car driving drunk, and they may kill themselves or injure themselves for life, but I have to wait for them to get to their lowest. I just don't think that's good advice.
Well,
I would want to try everything possible.
Well, no, he couldn't drive because his truck's all broke and everything. His house was worse than a pigsty and things. And so every time he'd get back from the VA, he would just come back to that condition of his house. And so anyway, there's this PTSD guy out of Arkansas who explained to us things that we hadn't realized before, that the PTSD conflict with the addiction, and that if you leave them alone and don't do anything, then it will, then they're rejected. And so the time that I told him, me and his dad told him, you know, we are not going to talk to you anymore. We're enabling you to continue in this unsafe pattern. But he was almost many times, and he's just very, very, he was very, very, very sick. And so anyway, this other guy suggested that we move in with him. So I came and I moved in with him for 2 weeks. Some people from the PTSD Foundation helped me clean up some of his house. And since I moved in, he you know, I've taken him grocery shopping. It's the first time he's ever had groceries, and I got him a little tiny refrigerator.
So, Sonia, hold on, because what you're explaining is critically important, and for timing reasons, we need to get to the heart of the issue. And so,
okay. My question.
Yeah. So yeah.
I've stayed with him for 2 weeks. I mean, he makes breakfast for me every morning. He's all happy and he's doing well. I take him to Celebrate Recovery almost every night of the week in the PTSD Foundation on Wednesdays. And he's been doing really well. He's enjoying them. And then his dad and I are going to switch out, and his dad can help him pick up.
Okay, so what's the question for us?
My question is, we don't feel that he's safe to be left alone. He does so well if somebody's with him and taking him to the recovery meeting.
Yes, so that is, you just said it. So let me jump in. So it is fundamentally impossible for him not to be alone for the rest of his life. Really,
yeah, I know.
Really, really good PTSD recovery heals out those wounds that he is carrying inside of him. And if he were to continue recovery and with the support, and he may need treatment, and treatment may be the, in my opinion, may be the very best option, is that he can do
a... We got him treatment.
Oh, okay, but hear me out.
Okay.
Is that he needs both. He needs to stay in very, very intensive PTSD treatment with the latest technologies, meaning, you know, EMDR, somatic experiencing, needs the best, as well as a continued recovery program, so that he ultimately, the ultimate goal for your son is for him to be okay in his own skin. And as long as he's okay, but right now he's okay in your skin, not in his own.
Yes. Does that, I'm just wondering how long we should do this. If, you know, we're not retired.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
let us do this. We're going to talk about that at the break, and right after this, we will come right back to you.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. 1-800-229-3000 is how you can get in touch with us on the radio program. And here we have a situation of a loving, caring mom. Last time we, you know, the last caller, we had a friend who was supporting a friend, but it was time to let go. Here's a mom definitely struggling to know what to do with this struggling son. Chris, let's start with you. This isn't a failure to launch. He has launched. It's kind of a failure to land or something. I don't know what it is, but it's very unique.
Yeah. So, Sonia, I would say this. This is going to, you know, all of the questions have surrounded so far, what do I do about my son and his condition? But I want to start with a different question right now, is that I want you to think of, what do I do with my fear and anxiety around the situation? Because you have frantically reorganized your entire life, including your emotional life and your mental life, around your son's problem. And so his problem has hijacked you. And so you're organized around this problem. And therefore, we end up with the wrong solutions. And here's what I mean by that. You want to organize your life around your own health first and help him organize his life around his health. So, you know, there's this very popular line I have with families that are struggling with their loved one's addiction. And that is, I will do nothing that keeps you stuck in your addiction or in your pain or in your hurt, but I will do anything to help you in your health. But doing health for somebody else will never work. I only can do health for myself. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so,
you know, he's tried all that.
No. Oh, okay, that's fine. Again, I want you to try something. I want you to try.
Oh, okay.
I want you to try Al-Anon. I want you to try counseling. I want you to try your own healing process through this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's a Celebrate Recovery. Is that good?
It's a good start. Absolutely, it's a good start. But I want you to get into good counsel of someone that can show you how your life is getting hijacked around fear. And my guess is that that's not a new experience for you with your son.
No, he was a perfect son growing up.
No. I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about your life.
Oh, okay.
That your life has been hijacked by fear for a long time.
And Sonia,
Sonia,
you have every right to be afraid, because your son's life is falling apart, and the only way that seems to help him is if you're the one holding up the life that he is destroying. He already lost his wife. You're probably afraid he'll lose his home, his job if he has one, and eventually he will die because of his addiction if he doesn't get the help, and you're the only help that seems to be working. Is that right?
Yes, and it's that.
And his dad. But the help that you're giving him is a Band-Aid. And as soon as either of you are unavailable at any level, his addiction, it's still there, and it will rear its ugly head. You're teaching him to be dependent on you to have a clean house, to have for even to be motivated enough to cook meals. So it will be very important that you take Chris's advice, turning your focus off of how do I fix my son to how do I get fixed and get the healing that I need so that I can truly be a healthy help to him. Addicts need to experience enough pain, and that's the bottom that you were talking about. You're keeping him from hitting that bottom. And so it only prolongs that process of his addiction deepening until he hits the bottom. You will do him a service by weaning him off of all this help that you're getting, allowing him to live in a very messy life, and giving him healthy support through your own recovery work. It doesn't, I'm sure it doesn't sound like it makes any sense to you, because as long as you're in his home, he's okay. But he's only okay on the surface. You're probably keeping him comfortable enough to not need to get the deeper help he truly needs to get out of his addiction and to look at the mess he's made of his life.
And here's the thing. The more, at his age, the more he can only be comfortable with his mommy or daddy, the more difficult it is to discover, I can be just as comfortable with somebody my own age that I'm not related to, that I might actually develop a relationship with. But if there is this belief in him, I can never get better, and he's kind of infected everybody with that belief, then he's stuck. And you're going to have to do the courageous thing. You're going to have to do the courageous thing to let him experience some uncomfortable time that doesn't destroy him, but it emboldens him and strengthens him to move on. You've told us that you've told us all the things that have not worked. You continuing just to do what you're doing, it won't work either. And so I'm not saying, none of us are saying, leave the house immediately and move out and, you know, just tell him, do the best you can. No, but to develop a plan would be so great.
Mm-hmm.
To have a plan that he knows and he understands it, so that he's going to have a level of independence that he doesn't have right now.
Yeah,
We'll give you a couple ideas when we come back from this. You're listening to New Life Live. So many people struggle with independence.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Growth Has No Boundaries by Drs. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop, and the Emotional Freedom Workbook. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're talking with Sonia. It's a tough situation. We want to give you some help, Sonia, on some ideas about how in the world you can help him at this stage, where he's kind of been a victim of his PTSD and the alcohol issues, how you can help him get to that independent state. And I just want to say one thing is, you have to communicate to him, you expect him to be able to be independent, mm-hmm. and to be able to succeed. You have to expect that, and he needs to hear it from you. And maybe that first expectation is, let's get together. What you would hand somebody if you wanted them to consider you to work wherever they are. Chris, and then we'll go to Alice. What do you guys think?
So real quickly, Sonia, let me just say this. The best form of leadership in any areas of our lives will always be self-leadership. Okay? So, mm-hmm. So the first thing that I want you to do, here's plan 1A, and 1B does not exist for me. Okay? Plan 1A is recognizing that you're in the way of your son getting help, and so you're going to get help by going to Al-Anon and to seeking your own therapy that really specializes in addiction and codependency. And then what will happen is then you'll get more clear on how to appropriately help your son. And I know this is a problem because if I was talking to your son and he was giving me all the reasons that he couldn't get better, I could put what you told me on repeat. You're making all of the addictions excuses for it. And so I'm not saying he hasn't worked hard or hasn't tried things, but this is a long-term deal. We got to keep at it for over and over and over again. But him being able to find that motivation will be the most important thing. So you go and getting your life back will be the most important thing for you.
Alice, are there some things you would add here?
I disagree with one part of what you said, possibly, Chris. Because, Sonia, if he's going to CR because you and your husband are willing to give him a ride and maybe you stay at the meeting with him, that and other things may actually still be helpful to do if he is receiving treatment because you're doing that part of it. And I think you and your husband need to come up with a list of everything that you're doing for your son and to pray over that list and look at what are we doing that's helping him to grow and mature. Getting him to CR, I think, is one of them. What are we doing for him that are keeping him stuck and immature? Things that he should be doing for himself, but we are doing for him. But then, Sonia, I think you will have to release control over what your son does with what you take your hands off of. Because I think when you see him fail, you want to jump in and clean it up for him. And that it is a hindrance to his own growth. But keep taking him to CR.
Well, like we left him for months at a time because we worked out of the country.
Yeah. Now's the time to go back to that kind of mindset as you're kind of weaning him off of your involvement to the degree that you've moved in with him.
Sonia, it sometimes takes people years or decades to choose recovery for themselves. I have talked with many addicts who said, until my family left me in jail when I was arrested and they didn't bail me out, it was those nights that I was left to suffer in jail that I finally chose treatment for myself.
Okay. I'm glad that you called. I hope that something we've said has been helpful. I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. I'll send you Healing as a Choice, and I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible for him. I hope it's going to be helpful. Larry Sonnenberg is in the studio today, and Larry, what do you have for us here? Hope you got something really good.
I do. This is really good. Okay. We had a gentleman write this letter. Let me just read this. Enclosed is a check for $500 during your matching fund campaign. My wife and I listen to your program every day and continue to be inspired by it. I'm a retired pastor over 18 years, having served for over 40 years in the local parish. I was also a certified marriage and family therapist. We continually are encouraged by your scriptural faithfulness in dealing with the issues people present, and we're equally impressed with the caring and wise counsel you offer to the callers. The sensitive, experienced, and very insightful responses offered by your counselors continue to be a strong source of hope for us and inspires us to want new life to be a part of our charitable giving this year. And he thanks us.
Nice,
and,
huh?
Yeah. And I just, man, if a guy like that who's retired and just wanting to know how to help give will give $500 to a campaign for this match that we have. And if you're just brand new, we have a match. Hopefully it's under $400,000 by now because this is a recorded program. But it's a lot, and we need your help. And we have until May 31 to get it matched. And it's going to take some little gifts. It's going to take some medium gifts. And it's going to take a few big gifts. No matter what category you're on, and we just really would appreciate that you could support New Life with this.
Mm-hmm. Well, and sort of we have this term that can seem like a cliche, but it's not when it really makes a difference, and that is we're all in this together. And so we each need to do what we can, not worry about what we can't, but make the investment because we know the return on investment is transformed lives. And that is where moth and rust cannot destroy.
And I know there's people out there listening that said, I know one day I'm going to do this, and I'll maybe next week. But please stop now. Give us a call at 800-NEW-LIFE. Go online. Don't wait. I don't want to get desperate, so I'm pleading loudly now. And again, this is a gift that was made by a group of folks who put their finances together and said, we'll give this to you, but there's a condition. You've got to go get it matched. This was not New Life saying this has got to be a matching gift.
And mm-hmm. by the way, that's the difference between empowering and enabling right there.
There
so
you go.
Even our giver, our greatest donors understand the power of empowerment, but we need you to join us in that.
All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you give us a gift of any amount, we'll send you Steve Poe's book, and it is called Creatures of Habit, and it's all about the habits under the habits. It's going to be great insight for you. Anything else you want to add, Larry?
Thank you, everybody who has given, who will give, and please, we need to hear from the old-timers and the brand-new people equally, so make a gift today, please.
At what age does old-timer actually start? What's
the end of it? I'm just curious. Older than me.
Okay. Older than you. All right.
Okay.
Older than Larry. Thank you, Larry. Appreciate it. Let's go to our phones again, and let's talk with Valerie from Los Angeles, California, and she watches us on YouTube. Hello, Valerie. Welcome to New Life. How are you?
Hi. I have a similar question to the rest of the callers today. I'm wondering if there is a way that I can help my mom in a healthy way so that I'm not enabling her or myself.
Okay. What's going on with your mom?
She's been in, it's my dad. They've been married for close to 30 years. I'm an adult now, but my dad's an alcoholic, and she's been in a, before he was an alcoholic, he was also very abusive to her. So I grew up seeing that my whole life, and then she would always kind of look to me like a mother, and I would have to sort of rescue her from when it would get really bad.
Mm.
And so I've been in therapy for about 2 years now, and so I've worked on changing my roles and not being her mom, but being her daughter, and also just being my own person. And so now, again, she's coming to me, telling me that she's going to leave my dad, and I don't want to like put myself into the position of trying to help her again so much.
Well,
Valerie,
your parents' marriage, how has it impacted you? How have you been affected by it?
Well, I have PTSD, and I've had to work through child trauma, and it's just really overwhelming because I hear the overwhelming
in your voice, and it is a very, very difficult situation, obviously. But I just want you to recognize, and this isn't trying to make either your mom or your bad dad out to be the bad people or the bad person. But it's a matter of like the situation that they have chosen to stay in has really hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And your mom's a part of that.
Exactly. So I feel sort of angry at her when she comes back to me to try to rescue her.
Rightly so. Valerie, what is she asking of you now that she's supposedly planning to leave him?
I don't really know yet, but it always builds up to like her kind of dropping everything on me. And in the past, I've taken her to like an airport. I've paid to help her support herself, and I picked up my sisters and her in front of hotels because my dad left her there, or lost job because my brother would come in my job crying that my dad punched my mom in the face.
Oh, boy.
And
man,
it just feels like it never ends.
Yeah.
And she always stays with him.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating.
It's such a glaring example of the dad does all this abusive stuff, and we're angry at the mother.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. You know, a lot of times people find themselves in these impossible situations, mm-hmm. but you've never reached out for help for yourself. You've gotten help for the person, and you would say to us, well, that happened, but it didn't work for them. Anytime somebody gets treatment, and they come back and they say, well, I did that and it didn't work, my answer would be, I think you ought to try it again, and this time you work it in a different way. Because whatever you are involved with, it's not there. It's not going to fix you. You're going to have to use it as a tool to let God transform you. So there's got to be willingness with the program, surrender to God. All of that is on your part. And I've seen people say time and time, well, we tried counseling, you know. Oh, really? Tell me about it. Oh, well, we went one time. She didn't pray with us, so we never went back again. Okay, that is not trying counseling. That is not what we talk about here when we say do the work, get involved in counseling. And it's so less painful than you would ever imagine. But you need to go and get that help rather than continuing to try to figure it out yourself. I've said it many times, trying harder just makes trying harder. And it really does. Anything else we want to say here for Valerie before we close out the call with her?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's it, Steve, is that trying harder just makes trying harder. And Valerie, you have spent a lifetime trying to rescue the unrescuable, trying to fix the unfixable. Because at the end of the day, your parents' marriage is not within your power, and it's certainly not within your responsibility. And as painful and heart-wrenching as it is to see your mom suffer in the way that she's suffering, again, there's something inside of her that keeps going back to the suffering that now it impacts you. And sooner or later, somebody has to say, if anything's going to change, somebody has to say, no more, I'm out. And I'm hoping, Valerie, that that's you. When you are letting go, you are not saying, I no longer love you, or I no longer want to be a part of your life. You're saying, I no longer want to be a part of the pain because how it is negatively impacting my life. And because anything that I do ultimately doesn't work anyhow. I'm tired of failing. And so I'm going to go to work on things I can succeed in, and that is your own life.
And I want to differentiate there between what you have done that doesn't work and what you still can do that is within your power to influence. And I suspect you're also drawn into this because you're an older sister to younger siblings who are still exposed to your dad's and your parents' toxic behavior. So you need to figure out with your therapist now what you will do for your mom as the situation, the crisis builds, and what you will not do. So prayer is always appropriate. Being willing to call Child Protective Services if your siblings are in danger is appropriate. And in some ways, that would look like you're adding to your family's problems, and it certainly does stir up a lot. But your siblings may need that protection from you. Picking your mom up is probably not helpful because she always goes back again. And so you'll need to decide, is it helpful for me to do that or do I need to say no? And is a painful no to my mom a greater help to her in the long run? And that's the boundaries that you know, Valerie, we've been talking about all day. Sometimes that no, as wrong as it feels, because a good daughter always says yes when mom asks for help and when mom needs help. But we need to give honest, good no's.
Yeah. Really great rule to follow is that if somebody is shaming you into doing something, it's a shame for you to do it. So you really have to be free of that. And I'm really glad you called. I hope what we've said here is good. I'm going to send you, Jill Hubbard wrote a book called Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers. I think that's going to be helpful. And I'll send Take Your Life Back to you also. If you're not familiar with Take Your Life Back, here's a headline. By the time you finish reading it, you become the decider in your life. What a powerful thing that is, that you're the adult making decisions that could change everything. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. There are a lot of times we talk about things like recovery. We use the name recovery. Well, you know, there's another name that could replace recovery. It's restoration, trying to restore character that was whittled away by some addiction or some kind of abusive relationship. You need to recover the person God intended you to be, and you need to restore that heart within you that's been beaten down so horribly. Restoration. But you know what else there is? There's kind of a repurposing that needs to take place, where maybe we set out to do one thing in life, but now, after what we've been through, we see things differently, and we can help people in this world in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
We want to help you do that. But first, you have to be free of whatever it is that's holding you down. And these folks that say, well, you shouldn't have a problem because when you became a Christian, you became a new person. All things were passed away. Everything else is new. I think that that refers to perspective. I think it refers to hope and faith. The problems you had left you in total despair. Now, the problems you have, there's hope and there's healing and there's a solution. But when you accept Christ, not everything gets fixed. You don't get your teeth instantly capped or a facelift or anything like that. There's still issues, problems that have to be dealt with. That's why we live in a fallen world. It doesn't all get fixed magically. Wishful thinking doesn't change anything. So when we realize all that and we get down to reality and we start to say, I need to be responsible. I need to accept responsibility, carry my own load, my own burden. Then we take on the hard stuff. Little by little, life becomes easier, more manageable, and it makes more sense.
You know, and Steve, I think one of the things that is easily overlooked in this is kind of the theme of our calls today was that how do I help people who are stuck and in a bad place? And obviously, you see Jesus going to hurting people, especially hurting people on the margins and really, really helping them out. And so that gets a lot of attention. What we don't tend to pay attention to is that there were more people that Jesus walked away from or that walked away from Jesus. And we can think of the rich young ruler and Jesus telling him, hey, listen, this is the Chris Williams version, but hey, listen, I would love for you to join me and be with me and learn life from me. But what you're holding on to won't work. Jesus didn't beg him. Jesus didn't lecture him. Jesus didn't do anything. He just invited him, but for whatever reason, the rich young ruler couldn't do it, and they both walked away sad. It, you know, Jesus doesn't make any of us do anything. He invites us in, and in that, we do have a responsibility, and unless we take that step of responsibility, we can't expect to gradually become new people in Christ.
And that sadness is key. When those around us choose unhealthy, sinful, addictive things, and we can't change them, sadness is the answer to our distress that they're not choosing better.
Absolutely. And I feel like a lot of places we get stuck is our avoidance of grief.
Of course. Well, I hope something we've said has been helpful here. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, same number if you can help us. When you join Club New Life for $30 a month, I send you the Arterburn Wellness Series, 8 books on understanding and loving a person with bipolar, alcohol, drug addiction, sexual addiction, all of that. We'll send you Steve Poe's book for a gift of any amount called
Thanks
Creatures of Habit.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.